See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Well, it is definitely gorgeous, so let's enjoy it. It's not going to last too long, unfortunately. Yurko's out playing golf today. I'll be back tomorrow. Meller's sitting in. It's Carmen and Yurk. ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Justin Fields practiced a little bit yesterday. Label me somewhat skeptical that he'll play this weekend. Maybe he will. I mean, look, he's young and, boy, but rib injuries, man. Better be careful. It's painful.
I think the encouraging reports were that most people who got a chance to see him, who covered the team, said he looked good. But
you look good when nobody's
exactly
chasing you and you're not going to get hit, you know?
And do you want to expose your ribs, broken ribs, to a potential hit? You know, you might, sure, you can wear some type of Kevlar jacket, but
it's so painful. I'm telling you, for anybody that's had a rib injury.
And here's the thing.
I mean, it's just, it is the worst.
Do we think Matt Nagy's really in a rush to get him back out on the field right now? They're 4-7, and even though we look at it as, okay, really, you're in the hunt. I know Matt Nagy is treating it like they're in the hunt. So I think he probably feels more comfortable having Andy Dalton out there taking, you know.
Which I still don't get, but I don't know.
Well, listen, it's not like we can say that just as much as I want to see Justin Fields out there for his own development.
Yeah, I guess
it's
you're
not
right.
Like he's, I guess you know, we're right. Clinging to that Steelers game, right? Like that things really looked really, really good that game.
My judgment's probably like, I think you're right. I guess I'm being biased because I want to see him play and develop.
Yes, that's what I want.
You're probably right.
But I feel like if I were in Matt Nagy's position and my team was 4-7, and I had a rookie quarterback who, even though he's had moments of brilliance, he hasn't displayed him like neat, like, okay, this is clearly my job. I play so much better than when Andy Dalton's out there.
He hasn't played like Justin Herbert played last
year.
Where you'd say, oh my God.
Get him out there every chance he gets.
Tyrod, sorry what we did to you, but you're never playing for us again.
Yes.
I mean, it was apparent by week 4 that there'd be no chance Tyrod Taylor would ever come back, because it was like, whoa, what is going on here with Justin Herbert? He's terrific. So it's not that. You're right. I guess I'm definitely biased in that I just want to see him play because I want to see him hopefully get better. So I don't know. I'm still a little skeptical 2 weeks out from cracked ribs, but maybe he will go. We'll see on us. I don't know that we're going to find out until Sunday, by the way. Don't you think? I'm going to take that all the way up.
It's going to be 10:30. Deanne and I will be doing the pregame show, and all of a sudden the inactives will roll in. I would be surprised if we get any confirmation either way that I could see. This is one of those things where it's actually beneficial for the Bears to kind of keep it in their back pocket, too.
Yeah, probably.
You know, for the Cardinals.
Although, you know.
I know, but listen, if
Cliff
you're
Kingsbury really the, is Raheem Moore, who's their DC? It's who's there?
Raheem Morris?
Is it Raheem Morris?
Or is it?
No, it's not Morris.
It's the former Broncos coach.
What? Raheem Morris is with McVay.
Who am I thinking of?
Vaughn Joseph, right or no? I think of someone else.
I'm trying to think who their DC is. Why can't I think of it right now? My bad. I don't know that they're going to be kept up at night anyway, but you know, they're just happy they're getting Kyler and
they've been waiting. And listen, they've had 2 weeks.
Like, here we go.
They've had 2 weeks.
Got our guys back.
Johnny Nansen? No, that's not right. That's
I can't
stupid,
think of it. I'm
stupid
total
Google. That's the Arizona Wildcats. I need the Cardinals here.
Mm. I'm totally blanking on. It was a week ago.
Is Vance Joseph.
It is Vance Joseph. Okay, there you go.
Merck.
Thanks, Merck.
Anyway.
It was a week ago today that the Bears were in Detroit for Thanksgiving, winning the football game in one of the ugliest games you're ever going to see on Thanksgiving Day. This was what happened, remember, during the coin flip.
Detroit has won the toss and elected to defer. Chicago, you want the ball? You want the ball?
I want to defer.
They defer. You want the ball. You want the ball. Which way do you want to kick? Chicago will receive at this end. Good luck.
That is an all-timer. Christian Jones, he wanted to defer. He didn't care what had already happened.
No. The best. And
Aikman, we couldn't wait. It's the only thing that made Aikman smile all day.
All day. And Buck. It's the only thing that made them happy. And the ref's reaction was great. He's like, no, they already deferred. You want the ball.
Yes.
He's like basically telling Christian Jones. Christian Jones had some fun with it yesterday when he met the media.
You know what? I was kind of chatting with one of my former teammates before the coin toss. So I heard him, but I didn't really hear him. So, so that's kind of what happened there.
When did you check your phone after the game? Was it?
Yeah, I knew after that I was gonna get some type of backlash from him, but you know, it's all good.
He broadcast essentially. Troy Aikman said, "Oh, we got a good one for you." This coin toss. Did you go back and watch it then? And
I saw some clips. You know, so I just try to entertain some people on Thanksgiving. You know. Sometimes you got to check the rest, man, you know. Been a little iffy this year, so make sure they're on the toes a little bit.
I love it. That's funny. Check, but the ref was all over it. And the ref even was telling him, he goes, no, you want the ball. Don't say kick.
Yes, yes.
He's like, otherwise you're going to be kicking twice.
Twice, exactly.
You want the ball. Yes. It was hilarious. And I don't remember what Buck and Aikman said. They whomever that ref is, we could look it up, I'm sure. You know, we've talked about it. They all have other jobs. They're all working professionals, most of them in very high-powered fields. I want to say, did they joke that he was an engineer or a rocket scientist or something? What does he do? They may... Then something, and they're like, "You're not fooling him." He was all over it right away. He goes, "No, they deferred. You want the ball?" It's still an all-timer. A week later, it's still classic.
I'll give Christian Jones credit. I liked. You know what? You use it to your advantage. You know what? The refs have been iffy this year. So I figured I'd try my luck. You never know. Maybe they let us defer, and we can choose in the second half. He's remembering back to the Pittsburgh game when the next day Peter King came on with you and Yurko and said, "Listen, the refs, they make them full-time employees." It is still ridiculous that it's a second job.
It's the problem is it's. I mean, soon it's going to be a 19-week season, right? You're going to have 18.
Yes,
we're going to 18.
Yes,
games.
Absolutely.
So soon we're going to have a 19-week season plus playoffs. I mean, you are getting into half the year here, right? I mean, can't they? The old argument used to be, well, they're playing 16 games, they're playing 14 games, they're playing 16 games. Like it's not, you know, it's not worth it to have full-time refs. This is you could make this a full-time job, couldn't you? I mean,
absolutely. And it's not like I mean there it's not like it's not a lucrative job. It's terms of our part-time job, you're not going to find too many better, right? It's but I guess the question is too, like, what would be the
about 200 you quick Google search Meller the $205,000 a year.
It's a pretty good part-time job.
$205,000.
But the question is, I guess, what would they be doing in there if you make it a full-time job?
How about working to get better?
What does that mean? Because, like, you can't go work more football games. You have your rules. Like, are they studying film and tape?
That's what I would think, right?
Like, I'm just trying to wrap my head around, because I'll be honest. I don't care enough to go dig into what officials do in preparation for a game. You know what I mean?
I wonder, what do you think?
Like, how much time do they spend watching, you know, I know they have... You know, symposiums during the off season that they attend where they go over things like, but as an official, once you're already, you know, on the NFL staff.
Do you read the rule book every?
Well, yeah, I would hope so.
What are you doing?
That's the bare minimum,
I guess.
Is that they memorize.
Every week you're making sure that you've got a firm grasp of everything.
Yeah, I would hope so. That should be the bare minimum of what they're doing is
rules,
they know the
changes.
Rule book, right?
Yeah.
But then the question is, like, are they studying film?
I don't know.
Is the league, you know, when we get Perry Fuel, who's now the guy who, you know, gives us the primers of what happened this past week. Like, does he send out a bunch of clips and say, all right, this is good. We like this. Like, what time? I wonder how much time for the part-time job they need to put in season and what more can be done if you make those officials full-time. Because the truth is that part of it is just, are you asking too much of officials? Like, is it too difficult a game with the naked eye where if you're not going to institute, you know, cameras being able to buzz down and say, hey, this happened? Like, is it too much to ask from these physical specimens, these crazy athletes? Because half of them are judgment calls anyway.
I know, but they can buzz down now, can't they? Haven't we learned that? Wasn't that part of what Peter King was telling us? That there is a system in place where you can buzz and they can say, wait a minute. Like the one in Pittsburgh that really comes into play, maybe not the judgment call of what's taunting and not, but the stupid penalty that wasn't a penalty on James Daniels.
Yes.
Isn't there a fail-safe now where they're supposed to be, hey, you got it wrong.
Yeah.
Buzz down. Why did that not happen that day?
That's what needs to be changed more than anything.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you can, like, officials can do more if you made them, quote, full-time employees where, like, what can they do? You know, it's not like a player can practice, you know, how are you going to go out and practice as an official calling penalties in non-game situations?
You can work on your hand motions. Holding.
I don't know.
Personal foul.
I mean, they're going to go out and ref, you know,
illegal
high school games on Friday nights just to make sure that they're sharp. Give them all the action games so that they're ready.
Give them all the action games. There
Tuesday, Wednesday night. I don't know. It's
how well do you think you know all the hand signals, by the way? Pretty well?
I don't know.
I'll start holding.
Yeah.
Pass interference.
Personal foul.
Pass interference. Face mask. Is this a legal shift? Right? Isn't that?
Maybe.
Or am I wrong? On Twitch. The guy's on Twitch. Is this right? A legal shift. I think that's a legal shift. A legal. What do they do for illegal touching? Do they tap their? What do they do?
Illegal touching is the hat, isn't
it?
Yeah.
I think they tap the hat for illegal touching, right?
Yeah. Okay. So clearly, we're awful at this game.
Well, I think you know, if they paid me $205,000 a year, I'd be damn sure to study it up.
Absolutely.
I'd get really good at all my moves. I'll tell you that.
That's just the official, though. Like, the rest of the guys.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
How many people on the crew are kind of faking it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like. Yeah. I don't really know that one.
I don't know the.
They huddle up and you're like they're looking over and like they shrugging their shoulders. I don't remember. I haven't looked at the new rule book in 3 years.
I love it.
What have they changed?
I love it.
Half the time, Belichick's telling them that on the sidelines what the rules are.
I bet you Yurko would nail that test. By the way, if we started giving him the hand signals, I bet you Yurko would nail it. You Waddle would too.
We could do that
because we should do that.
I wonder. Because the thing is though, as players, I don't know how often they see it. Like. They're hearing it, but we as consumers see it almost as much as them because we're watching it on television, and I still feel inadequate in terms of because I don't care enough to learn them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You turn your mic on and you tell me, so I don't really.
Yeah.
I even go to like 4 or 5 games a year, and I still don't care.
I like to work on my strike three mechanic more than anything else.
That's fair.
My block and my charge call. And,
as it should,
if
yes.
If I were an NBA official,
yes.
That's much better to work out in the
You go
mirror.
To the Joey Crawford School.
Absolutely.
Letting people know.
All right, we'll take some calls coming up. 312-332-3776. How do the Bears proceed with Justin Fields? Extra cautious? Do you want him back on the field this week? You think there's a shot Justin Fields actually plays with those banged up ribs? 312-332-ESPN. You said you had a surprise for me too.
I do.
You want to do it next?
It's related to, listen, there's been a lot of misinformation about Brian Kelly and how he left Notre Dame and whether or not how he informed the players. And I'm not even sure we have any more clarity about it, but I'd like to bounce it off you next.
Gotcha. All right, we'll do that coming up.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Well, tomorrow's going to be a fun football Friday between the NFL, Bears, Cards, and all the college football this weekend where, I don't know, chaos could ensue. It could.
Yes.
I think it's going to be fantastic.
I feel bad, but I am the biggest Michigan fan right now.
Because,
you know, a couple reasons. Everyone says I shouldn't root for Michigan because I went to Wisconsin, but I don't really get that. But also because, you know, my good friend Pete Jones' nephew is on Iowa, Charlie Jones, and I should be rooting for him. But my brother Scott went to Michigan, so I'm going to be rooting for the Wolverines this weekend.
All right. Well, so that's it, just because Scott went to Michigan, huh?
Well, I also sort of have a decent relationship with Coach Harbaugh, so, you know, I like Jim Harbaugh.
Well, listen.
Yeah.
Listen, I learned the other day, but I have a little bit of an affinity for Michigan because of J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy.
LaGrange Park.
That's right.
Product. So
I met him
close
once.
To Carmenize hometown.
I met him at a camp that the boys did, football camp that the boys did a couple years ago before he left for IMG. Nice kid. Handsome. Tall, handsome.
I think it goes hand in hand. You want to be a successful quarterback.
Yeah,
you got to be handsome.
You got to be handsome, don't you? This is amazing. You got to be like 6'3 and handsome. No, nice kid. A good looking kid. Nice kid.
Completed a long pass against Ohio State.
Well, he can run too. I tell you, he's got some agility.
Going to be interesting to watch.
I think that game's going to be. I don't know. I don't see a very good game in Indy. There's got to be some letdown here for Michigan. I know they're playing for a spot in the. In the playoff, they're so much better defensively than Iowa is offensively. I can't imagine them losing.
Yeah.
But I do think there's got to be some natural letdown. Sure. And Iowa is just putrid offensively. I mean, sorry, Merck. I know Charlie goes there and everything, but Iowa's offense is just borderline impossible to watch. I mean, it's just awful. My brother went to Iowa. One of my brothers went to Iowa. I got plenty of friends that went to Iowa. We got a whole crew in Western Springs that went to Iowa. I'm sorry, Andy Hedinga and Mike Bloom and all the Iowa. Your team stinks. Iowa stinks.
13th in the country. Your team stinks.
They're 10-2. They stink.
They should have lost. If it weren't Nebraska, they would have lost. They were getting boat raced by Nebraska going into the fourth quarter. Yeah. Boat raced. But Nebraska, they got their own issues. Minnesota shouldn't beat them if P.J. Fleck wasn't a scaredy cat. They should have lost that game. They got outgained by like 150 yards in that game. They stink with that offense. I don't know. I don't see a very good game coming our way in the Big Ten.
Can you hear
sorry.
That game on ESPN 1000?
Yes. All right. Way to promote it.
That's how you do it.
I'm just telling you. There are other games, I think, that are going to be better.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yes, as Merck mentioned, though, 7 o'clock, Michigan, Iowa, right here on ESPN 1000. All right, so here's the thing, Connor.
The Iowa fans are pissed at me. Now,
your team stinks, but listen to Michigan boat race over Iowa, according to Carm. All right, so we've been talking a lot the last couple of days about Brian Kelly, and listen, things have been chaotic, you know, in this social media landscape. All the information we get, it isn't always accurate right away. People want to get it out there fast. We played Brian Kelly's leaked address to his team after he left it was being reported that he had taken the job at LSU. We initially heard that he met with them for 11 minutes. Then it turned into 2 minutes. Then yesterday we played what we thought was the speech for it was 3.5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Now, Carm, there's more misinformation out there. I don't know which one's which. Now multiple speeches of Brian Kelly addressing his team after taking the LSU job have now surfaced. And I think it's our job, our duty, since we played it for everyone yesterday. At least what I thought was his final address to the Notre Dame's athletes. I guess that's not the case. We're going to have to wade through these speeches and find out which one is actually where Brian Kelly addressed his Notre Dame football players. I guess we'll start off with this first one here.
Right. I want to be able to tell you face to face.
Sounds like Brian.
You know, why we're at, and that is very simply, the past 12 years have been the most incredible 12 years of my life, for me and my family, being here in Notre Dame.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
Sounds about right.
Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed, in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind, and greed, you mark my words, will not only save Teldar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation called the USA.
Perfect.
Thank you.
I love each and every one of you. And thank you for the opportunity that you've given me and my family.
Gotta be honest, that one sounds a little forthright to me.
That's a perfect summation.
But, you know,
he's saying goodbye and he's saying, guys, look, greed. Greed's good.
Remember that.
I'm going to get greedy and go to LSU.
I got a lot of money. So, I mean, you can't really... that one's hard, though, to say that it's not true.
No, that's him. That's Brian Kelly,
From what we played yesterday versus this one, I think both are possibly on the table for the real Brian Kelly address to the Notre Dame
Guys,
students.
I'm going
to
go recruit against Nick Saban, Lane Kiffin, and Jimbo Fisher. Greed is good.
But I guess that's not the only one that surfaced. There was another one that was out there yesterday. People claiming that Brian Kelly, this is what he had to say when he addressed the Notre Dame football team after accepting the LSU job.
I want to be able to tell you face to face.
Sounds like him again.
Sounds like Brian. Simply, the past 12 years have been the most incredible 12 years of my life, for me and my family, being here at Notre Dame.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only. You think I'm f***ing with you?
Ooh. Got blue there.
I am not with you.
Wow.
I'm here from downtown. I've been in this business 15 years.
What's your name?
You. That's my name. You know why, mister?
because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. Probably. I drove an $80,000 BMW. That's my name.
So harsh. A little bit.
A, B, C. A, always, B, B, C, closing. Always be closing. Always be closing.
Thank you. Yeah. I love each and every one of you. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given me and my family.
Sounds like Brian to me.
Yeah, I think, yeah. You know what? I give him credit. He left them with a lesson there at the end, which you have to appreciate. Yeah.
Yeah. And buy an $80,000 BMW if you can.
And listen,
when you sign the deal that you sign at LSU.
That's just flaunting to the student body. The athletes, they don't make money, Carmen.
You see this watch? This watch costs more than your car.
Sounds like you've heard Brian Kelly's speech before, Carmen.
I have. I have a Tommy Reese and I go way back.
But again, not the only one. Still another one. There was another one. People claiming that this is what Brian Kelly sounded like when he addressed the Notre Dame football team he was leaving for LSU.
I want to be able to tell you.
Sounds like Brian. Yeah. Sounds like Brian to me.
We're at, and that is very simply, the past 12 years have been the most incredible 12 years of my life, for me and my family, being here at Notre Dame.
Lucky for me, I happen to be very f***ing good at my job, or I'd be out of it. Now, y'all look money hungry, and that's good. Anybody tells you money's the root of all evil doesn't f***ing have any. They say money can't buy happiness. Look at the fucking smile on my face. Ear to ear, baby. You want details? Fine. I drive a Ferrari 355 Cabriolet. What's up? I have a ridiculous house in the South Fork. I have every toy you can possibly imagine. And best of all, kids, I am liquid. So, now you know what's possible.
Thank you. I love each and every one of you. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given me and my family.
It's another life lesson. I mean,
brazen, I have to say.
Well, but he's handing out life lessons, you know. Make money, kids.
Listen, you got to like the honesty. I got to say that. A lot of people being very critical of Brian Kelly for not being forthright to his students. I think what we're hearing right there is a man who's very honest when he's telling them what happened and what went down.
I'll give Brian Kelly that.
Not the only one, though, Carmen.
Oh, there's another one?
There's, I think, one final one we have here that leaked. Apparently, we're going to have to judge which one was actually Brian Kelly's speech to the Notre Dame football team upon leaving. Here's the last one.
I want to be able to tell you face-to-face, you know, why we're at, and that is very simply, the past 12 years have been the most incredible 12 years of my life, for me and my family, being here at Notre Dame.
That's right, baby. I just bought this truck straight cash. Then I got enough cigarettes to last me and my family for the rest of our lives. I'm rich, bitch!
Thank you. I love each and every one of you. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given me and my family.
Quite obviously the last one. I mean,
I think that's clear. That's clearly the one.
I thought it was the first one, but it's quite obviously the last
one. So there you go. Brian Kelly's final address to the Notre Dame football team.
Well done. They bid you adieu, Brian.
You just never know what is actually accurate in this day and age. Nobody's got two sources, Carm. Everybody's got one source that they just cross their fingers and hope is right.
Ask Mark Conkle.
Yes.
What happened to two sources? Joe's in Norridge on ESPN 1000. What up, Joe?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, you guys were talking about refs and stuff earlier. I just wondered, I'm not sure. Are the referees in, like, a union or anything? Because I always thought that the best people to be referees would be, like, former players. Because, you know, they know, like, firsthand, and, like, you'll even hear, like, when they're commentating on games. Like, when they say, like, clear and obvious fouls or, like, what is and isn't a penalty, like, those guys seem to know right away because they were in the trenches or, you know, a lot of those guys play DB or wide receiver. And so they know, like, better than the refs do, in my opinion. But it would solve a lot of those issues where a lot of those guys don't have insurance after however many years they stopped playing. So they'd be able to, you know, stay with the NFL.
I don't know how many of them want that job when it's all said and done, Joe. I'm not sure. As far as the union,
Referees Association. Yeah.
Most of them are unionized.
Remember, because there was the Oh, yeah. Was the lockout? Remember, yeah. The replacement refs.
The replacement refs.
When they just moved on. And remember, we had the Fail Mary when it finally, you know, on national television basically ended it when the Seahawks and Packers.
That's right.
Game was on for all to see. And just they completely botched the final call of the game, flipping the result that that basically ended it and made them, you know, come to an agreement. I don't think. Honestly, most former players want anything to do with being officials.
I don't think so either.
Honestly, I think the NFL would probably welcome some former players if they were interested in the idea.
Well, I think they put them in the employ of directing the officials or...
Yeah, having a conversation.
About, like, you know, what we should be looking for in games, how we should be adjudicating these games. What, you know, in that role, I can see it as some sort of liaison or someone like Perry... Fuel, who was a former coach, who is now...
I mean, Troy Vincent,
Was Troy ever the head of the officials, though?
No, but he was the...
He's the disciplinary.
Yes.
But like, right?
Yeah, he was.
I don't know that he still is. I'm not sure.
So former players are certainly involved.
But I don't know that they want to be on-field officials. And you don't have to be a former player to know what's holding, what interference is. They're trained. They work at all levels before they get to the highest level, obviously.
If anything, honestly, I think the bigger deal is, like, I think coaches... like to have a give and take, and I think they do with a competition committee and everything. I'd imagine they have a good working relationship with. And listen, the NFL referees just go out and enforce the rules that the league puts together.
Correct. We will play McKnight at the movies coming up next.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, every Thursday at this time, we like to play a little game we call McKnight at the Movies, where Connor McKnight gives you the play-by-play of a classic movie scene. You got to figure out the scene. He's great at this. And when you know it, if you're the first correct caller, you will win the prize. So Mellor normally knows, because you're normally on the other side of the glass, behind the glass with Randy Merkin. JR's in running the board today, spinning the dials. Mellor's sitting in for the good kid. So you don't know the movie Connor did?
Will be surprised as you, and I get to play along, which is my favorite part. Yeah. Just like actually,
I don't know either. He just sent it to JR.
Oh, really? Merk usually knows. You don't know either.
So Merkin gets to play as well.
So we should know since I have to screen phone calls about it.
So. Oh, you should probably get on that. You should figure that out. You guys should get on the same page. But the listeners, Carm, they get to play along.
Well, we will play with you, so play along with us. Try to win. Here we go. Here is part one, McKnight at the Movies.
Wait, hold on a second. I just scrambled and found the open. At least let me play.
All right, go play the open.
McKnight at the Movies. Connor McKnight recreates classic cinema on Carmen and Yurko, only on ESPN Chicago.
Do we appreciate the brevity of that open, or should we spice that open up a little bit, Mellor?
No, because I think the whole key is the McKnight at the Movies, so the open is fine. Where it's at.
Oh, yeah, you think it is?
Yeah, we get right to it. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
so you like the brevity. You appreciate
it. Well, it was done so with intention because, love Connor. He is good at this job. He's getting so good at the job that the segment is getting longer and longer because his narration is so good and detailed that now I think we need it for time purposes.
All right, well, here we go.
I don't want to do any extra work.
Here's part one, everybody. Way to be honest.
Our scene opens on a one-shot. Middle-aged man. We're looking at an older guy. Late 50s, early 60s. He's got a strange mannerism about him, off-putting to say the least. He's speaking with someone. Now the camera cuts to this second character. It's a woman. We're seeing her for the first time in this scene. I'd have to guess mid to late 20s for her. She's clearly feeling uneasy about this conversation, so I'm not reading any of this wrong. There's a question of authority here, too. Given the location of this whole scene, you'd have to say she's the one in charge, but right now, this older man holds all the cards. He's asking a question of this woman. It's almost like he's asking her permission, but it's not that. It's something almost sinister about this. Either way, permission granted, and our back and forth continues.
I don't know yet, and I'm trying to think if he's working in
An Arizona tie.
All right, I do not know yet. If you think you know, 312-332-3776, older man, younger woman, back and forth.
I'll admit, it's much easier when I know the answer ahead of time.
Much easier, right? Here's part two, everybody.
This scene so far, it's been a back and forth of close-ups. Kind of makes you feel claustrophobic and tense while watching it. Maybe meant to convey the fact that both characters are trapped. One almost literally trapped, caged, in fact. The other, well, she's got a way out of this queasy interaction, but it's obvious she's in too deep to leave. A bit on our actors. The man is a legend, although if you looked at his IMDb page, you'd see fewer big roles than you might think. This is his biggest film, though. It's her biggest film as well. She'd go on to star in much, much more, but each put a golden statue on the mantle after this picture. This movie, frankly, is epic. One of only three films to win all of the big five categories at the Oscars.
No. Did that win all five? I don't know. Maybe I thought I had it, and now I don't.
I mean, I've got a guess right now, but I wouldn't begin to, I can't figure out the tie-in.
If it's, I don't know if I'm right. I don't know what it's won, if it won all five. And so if that's the case.
I don't know. This one's got me a little bit. I have a guess. I don't think it's right, but all right, let's go to part three.
Back to the scene. Our man is probing into the woman's past. She's answering.
I know it.
It's some heart-wrenching stuff, too. The entire time she's talking, I can't help but think she shouldn't be telling this guy anything. She's playing the game, though. She'll get whatever answers she needs, as long as she hands over the details of her personal life. Our main starts offering up the insight she's after. Man, the way the scene is lit, too. Cold and creepy, unwelcoming, and the whole thing just gives me the shivers. She's hanging on every word this guy's saying. She's working on a mystery, it sounds like. And this man, this jumpsuit filled with raw evil, has predicted something about her case he couldn't possibly have known. But this agent, she's got it figured out. She knew that he'd know. There's an enormous amount of intellect at play here in this psychological thriller. The man explains the meaning of this mystery in the creepiest way possible, and our scene comes to an end. Like I said, one of the best all-around movies out there, if you can stomach it. Best way to watch it is in the middle of the day with the lights on and maybe a nice Chianti.
So I did have it right after the second clue. I can't figure out the tie-in if he indeed tied something into Bear's
Yeah, that's what
combo.
I was...
I'm missing whatever that is right now.
That's what threw me for a loop. Was I was looking for that tie,
John in Lake Bluff knows it, and it is an all time phenomenal movie. John, what's the movie?
It's Silence of the Lambs.
It is Silence of the Lambs, my friend. Hold on, Johnny. Make sure Merck's got all your info. We'll send you the gift card. Silence of the Lambs, indeed. Hello, Clarice, with Sir Anthony Hopkins and with Jodie Foster. And yeah, the Merck, was there a tie-in, JR? Do you know?
I didn't get emailed the tie-in. I just got emailed the scene.
I'm wondering.
So we're looking for something from Arizona. Is there?
Unless he just went away from it this week.
I don't
think. Because he told us at one point, he goes, maybe I'll throw you off the scent every once in a while and there won't be a Bears tie-in.
I think this is misdirection.
Otherwise, he did
Baltimore.
He pulled an all-timer when he did when the Bears went to Tampa. With the whole Bridget Monaghan thing.
Yes. But that's why I thought there'd be a tie. Awesome. And I was waiting for Raising Arizona.
Yeah.
And he said caged at one point. So then I was all confused because I was like, maybe it's Leaving Las Vegas. And then I was like, wait a minute.
There you go.
Yeah,
I love Raising Arizona.
I was all confused.
I'm going to text Connor.
Can you get, we need to find that out. Was there a tie? I don't like that he sometimes gives us a tie. And
Buffalo Bill went to Arizona State. No, I'm just kidding.
I was looking for the Buffalo Bill tie in it. I was like,
pretty good, Mark.
He should have saved this one for when they play the Buffalo Bills, happens to be.
You don't remember Buffalo Bill was an ASU game? Come on, you're forgetting that. We could have even got a speed, because remember the Wildcat, she went to Arizona. We could have gotten that. Buffalo Bill went to ASU. Merck, that was top notch.
Wait, is she a great big fat person?
Do you have the scene?
Yeah, I got the scene.
Put the lotion in the basket.
Back to the scene.
I hit the wrong button. I'm too busy doing my Buffalo Bill.
Oh, wait.
Can you put your pants on? Why are you dancing around, person? Buffalo Bill?
Are you about a size 10?
Quid pro quo. I tell you things, you tell me things. Not about this case, though. About yourself. Quid pro quo. Yes or no?
Quid pro quo.
Yes and no, Clarice. Poor little Catherine is waiting.
Go, Dad.
What is your worst memory of childhood?
Death of my father.
tell me about it and don't lie, or I'll know.
He was a town marshal, and one night he surprised two burglars coming out of the back of a drugstore. They shot him.
Was he killed outright?
No, he was very strong. He lasted more than a month. My mother died when I was very young, so my father had become the holy world to me. And when he left me, I had nothing. I was 10 years old.
You're very frank, Clarice. I think it would be quite something to know you in private life.
Quid pro quo, Doctor.
So tell me about Miss West Virginia. Was she a large girl?
Yes.
Big through the hips? Roomy?
Roomy.
They all were.
What else?
She had an object deliberately inserted into her throat. Now, that hasn't been made public yet. We don't know what it means.
Was it a butterfly?
Yes. A moth. Just like the one we found in Benjamin Raspail's head an hour ago. Why does he place them there, Doctor?
The significance of the moth is change. Caterpillar into chrysalis or pupa. And from thence into beauty. Our belly wants to change too.
He's absolutely chilling. I don't know if you remember my very famous list when I did the 100 greatest movie characters of all time.
I actually have it saved on my phone, Carmen.
Yes. That character was my number one all time, in my opinion.
Rightfully so.
Yes, Dr. Hannibal Lecter.
I believe he spent 18 minutes on screen for the...
God, is that right?
It's the shortest... I believe it's for best actor. It's the shortest amount of time ever spent on film.
That's amazing.
On screen. For actually winning, not supporting actor, but obviously actor. So
that's incredible. Yeah, he was my number one movie character of all time. And Connor texted me.
The tie-in.
He went deep. He got tricky again. DeAndre Hopkins is playing against the Bears this weekend.
And, of course, Johns Hopkins University.
And yes.
Do you know,
very good, Connor. Well done.
I first saw Silence of the Lambs when I was in seventh grade.
Wow. It's a little young to see. I was in high school.
I was, well, listen, it came
People
out.
Were for your, I'm a little older than
you. Know, it was
91?
I want to
say
you are correct. It was released in 91, and so I probably saw it right when it came out on VHS.
Yeah,
and I was 12 years old in seventh grade.
Yeah.
My kids are 11. Can I show this to them tonight?
No,
I'm kidding. Obviously,
you got to wait on that.
Yes. Boy, I'm kidding. Obviously, I love Silence of the Lambs.
I love it. It's 30 years later. It's as good as any, and it's as good.
And
as
I would highly recommend too if you've never read Thomas Harris's book. Silence of the Lambs. Listen, you know the plot. You know how it plays out, but.
I like the follow-up they
Red
did
Dragon
when they did the
or,
Red Dragon.
Hannibal. Red Dragon is actually the first in the series.
Right, yeah, that's
Red
right.
Dragon,
I didn't like Hannibal. I liked Red Dragon. I thought that was good. That was chilling because Ralph Fiennes was great.
The movie.
Yeah, chilling.
I thought it was solid, not as good as Edward Norton was in that one, right?
The Red Dragon. Edward Norton.
Yeah.
He plays the cop that catches
him. But Manhunter is based on the book, The Red Dragon.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Manhunter, the... What am I thinking? What's Manhunter? What's the Netflix one?
That's called Mindhunter.
I'm sorry. That's where they profile the serial killers.
I'm talking about the 1986 film Manhunter.
I got you.
With Michael Mann directed
it. Yes, Michael Mann directed it.
And it stars Bill Peterson.
There you go, yeah. I didn't know that's based on that book.
Based on the Red Dragon. So the character, Hannibal Lecter, first appears in Manhunter before Silence of the Lambs.
All right, very good.
It's not as good as Silence of the Lambs, obviously, but it's a good watch, too.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's Carmen and Yurko. This hour of the show is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Collins and the Cats host DePaul, Illinois, Purdue, and more at Welsh Ryan this winter. Buy your tickets now at nusports.com.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Something. The podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now. Get it in the App Store and Google Play.
You know, Carm, it's two big anniversaries today in sports.
Two big anniversaries. All right, December 2nd.
One Chicago ties, one that we still talk about every year.
One Chicago tie that we talk about every year. So it's got to
One Chicago tie, and then the other one is something we talk about every year related to this signing. You'll never get him. We could be here all day.
Well, how big could they be if I'll never get him?
Well, the first one involves the Bears.
Obviously, if it's December 2nd, it's got to be a Bears thing. What did the Bears do on December? Oh, was this the Monday night game?
Monday night game, yes.
Monday night.
The only loss of the year to the Dolphins.
It was Monday night football, December 2nd. I remember it was a few days shy of, I would have been turning 9 years old.
Wow.
And I know I was 9 when the Bears won the freaking Super Bowl, for crying out loud.
Carm, I had a
And I remember my mom let us stay up late.
Did she?
To watch some of the game. And the Bears were down in a blink.
Yes.
And I want to say it was Nat Moore had the first touchdown. Is that sound
right, Mark? I think
you're
right, yes.
In a blink, they were down.
Marino, Duper, and Clayton came just put well, it they
had
the Bears.
They sort of had the team that everybody assumed to. We all know the story. I mean, everybody assumed they'd meet in the Super Bowl. And then the one team that kind of scared, you know, I think Bears fans. I was a kid, but.
Let's do it. Bears dodged a bullet getting the Patriots and not the Dolphins.
It was the one team that Super Bowl 20 spread them out you know.
Hot take in Chicago.
Hot take, baby.
Bears would have lost to the Dolphins in 85 if they made it.
I remember the old guys before sports radio, obviously. You'd hear the older guys have the conversation, you know, and you just sort of believed it. You'd be like, well, the Dolphins, look what they did to them. They spread them out. They went fast. They could beat the Bears pass rush. Well, we go, what if we have to play the Dolphins again?
Yeah. If I remember that night, didn't they double Waddle most of that game? So he had
took him out of the game. That's a great point, Mark. That's the only way.
The truth
is that everybody knew before the Patriots upset the Dolphins, everybody knew that Ditka had a plan to work Waddle open. He was going to use him on the outside a little more, and they were going to take it to the Dolphins in the Super Bowl.
They doubled Waddle,
but they didn't even have to do that because they took the Patriots. They got the Patriots.
Shula was a genius that night. He completely took Tommy Waddle out of the game, and the Bears.
It's the only way you really could stop the
Bears. Never had a chance. Yeah, the only way he was taken.
Never. Yeah.
What do you guys think? 3, 2, 1. All right, Merck, what's the other?
The other one is 1991.
1991.
Bobby Bonilla becomes the highest paid player by the Mets, getting a 5-year, $29 million deal, which I assume was.
That can't be 91. That can't be.
It says 1991. Former.
No, he's right.
No chance. No chance, boys.
Former Pirates outfielder Bobby Bonilla becomes highest paid player in Major 91. League when he agrees to a 29. Did he sign another deal with the Mets after that?
Still paying for hit today was signed in the early 2000s, for sure.
No.
By Bobby Bonilla?
You're wrong. No.
Absolutely.
He took the deferred payments in the 2000s.
That's correct, Mella. The deferred payments started in 2011 and go through 2035.
The contract was originally signed in 91.
That could be.
It is. Yes. I have a body. Right. You know what? I did not know that. You know I have a July 1st. Right. You know I have a t-shirt, July 1st, Happy Bobby Bonilla Day.
That's right. He signed it in 91, and then they deferred it, started to 20 years later.
They reworked it. They still had like $5 million left on the deal, and then the Mets came to him and said, hey, can we defer some payments?
Got it. Okay.
In the 2000s.
And that makes sense.
That's when it all of a sudden became Happy Bobby Bonilla
Day. He said, fine.
His agent said, yeah, let's do this.
Let's start in 2011. And they pay him through 2030.
It's 25, 36, I think.
36?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Okay, you're right. You're right. Fair enough.
I did not. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put that on my calendar next December 2nd. I'm going to wear my Bobby Bonilla t-shirt. I have 2 days now when I can wear my Bobby Bonilla t-shirt.
I love it. Bobby Bonilla's first team was?
White Sox.
The Chicago White Sox.
There you go.
There's Sylvie doing the tease. Tomorrow, are you here? You're here tomorrow,
right? I will be on the other side of the glass.
But Meller will be. I want to play the Frank Reich song we never got to today. Meller and I love this. I'm sorry we didn't play it today, but we'll play it tomorrow. Like, the difference between the Bears coach and the Indianapolis coach. Like, when you listen to Frank Reich
talk about, same coaching tree.
Same coaching room.
They spent a lot of time together. We got the
dust. I mean, like, we got the one who just gives you word salad, as Waddle puts it.
Yep.
The great 85 Bear, Tom Waddle. And you listen to Frank Reich, and you're like, oh, man, he kind of sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
Yes.
And I wish you were our coach.
Yes. It's the bizarro Bears up in Indy.
Alex, call back tomorrow, too. Alex is a former player turned ref. I want to talk to him tomorrow. Meller, thanks. Good work, buddy. See you tomorrow.
My pleasure.
All right. Great job by Randy Merkin, J.R. Strauss. Thanks for listening, calling, and participating. Thanks to Tracy Butler for joining us and giving us weekend weather, and Connor McKnight from McKnight at the Movies. Have a great day, everybody. Enjoy this beautiful day. Yerk's back tomorrow for Football Friday. Greeny's next. Waddle and Sylvia, too. Black and Abdallah after that. We'll see you tomorrow to wrap the week. Who's got the final word?
Looks like everyone. Everybody gets the final word today.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word
on Carmen and Yurko.
Favorite deep dish online.
Out of my wife.
Make that the final word. Keep your beak out of my wife.
That's not my beak.